This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, I was listening to our editor-in-chief who sat in for me while I took a little vacation. Jason Pfeiffer did such a good job. And I thought, you know, he did a whole show on my first time. It was his first time doing a live national radio show. And I thought to myself, God, that first time is so fun, so scary. You never know what's going to happen. You know, so if you're just joining us, this is Entrepreneur Radio. And what are we about? We're dedicated to inspiring you, the leaders of today and tomorrow, with real life stories, trials and tribulations and triumphs of entrepreneurs that have achieved their dreams. But there's always a first time for everybody. So we like to get those folks on the phone and talk about the first times, talk about the good times, the bad times, you know, kind of like the old marriage vows, you know, through sickness and in health. You are married to that company. So our first guest today is David Glickman. He is the founder and CEO of a company called Ultra Mobile, a nationwide carrier founded back in 2011 that focuses on delivering innovative, cost-effective mobile voice, text, and data services for an estimated 40 million foreign-born people living in the United States who regularly call or text internationally. Now, I have family over in England, and so I am one of those people. My father was born in London, England. I'm a dual citizenship, which is kind of nice to have. My brother and his family visit New Zealand often. I think this is a great thing. So, David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan.
David Glickman, so founder and CEO, you have an interesting story because you are a guy that decided, I want to know about the psychology of business. So you got a master's degree in psychology. And I think I find that interesting. Maybe you could tell us your story a little bit. How did this all start with you for Ultra Mobile?
I've been a tech and telecom entrepreneur now going on my second decade. And essentially, you know, we realized that there is a big hole in, you know, a lack of service for a population that calls internationally.
Right.
You know, about 5-6 years ago, when you got a mobile phone, first thing is you couldn't make an international call. The four carriers wouldn't open up international calling. You had to be on them for about 3 months or 6 months and build some credit with them, and then they allow you to make a phone call at ridiculously high rates, $1 a minute or something to call, in this case, England or wherever.
Right.
And we just said, why should international calling be such a, you know, stigma? Why can't we just make it, include it in the plans? And, you know, so we had this idea to go approach one of the big carriers and make a very, very large commitment to them and say, hey, we will rent a section of your network nationwide. And what we're going to do is we're going to have people be able to make free international calls in addition to saving money on all their mobile plans.
Huh. So when it comes right down to it, it looks to me that you are one of or the fastest growing privately owned companies in America, grown more than 100,000%. Is that even possible? Congratulations if it's true. Wow. Hey.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. We were rated last year number one fastest growing company in America, and we're pretty excited about that.
What did that mean to you? I mean, obviously you know how fast you're growing, but it also probably means, you know, holy moly, Batman, you know, there's a lot of work to do, right?
Personally, it was very validating. The first company I started in the late 90s also achieved the same honor. We were also number one fastest growing company in America. And so that means that it wasn't just a fluke. It wasn't just luck. That it is something in terms of a management style or, you know, an understanding of what it takes and how to grow a company really, really really fast.
Right.
You know, from zero to hundreds of millions as quickly as we can.
Amazing. All right, hold tight. We got to take a little break. 100,000% growth. David Glickman, founder and CEO, ultramobile.com. You can check it out. We'll take a little break and find out, you know, I want to know some of the tough spots you got yourself in along the way, because you got to endure that to get to where you are today. This is Entrepreneur Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. I like to find out what the tough spot was. David Glickman's on the line. He's the founder and CEO of Ultramobile. His company has grown more than 100,000%, making his company one of the fastest growing private companies in America. David, so the trials and tribulations, that's what entrepreneurship is all about. So maybe you could give us a couple of your tough spots you made it out of.
As I mentioned earlier, Ultramobile, we wanted to start a mobile carrier, and we were talking, in this case, with T-Mobile. And they had a program that you could, you know, rent their network, and they had a lot of companies wanting to do the same thing. And when we met with them, we pitched our idea. They loved the idea. They said, the only problem is, you know, we have about, you know, 8 companies ahead of you, and it takes, you know, several months to onboard each one of these. And I said, gosh, is there anything I can do? I don't really want to wait a couple of years to launch our company. And they said, well, how much are you looking, you know, to do with us? And I said, well, you know, I could do, you know, $5-10 million in our first year. And they said, yeah, unfortunately, you know, some of these other guys are all in that same kind of size. If you want, you know, if you can make a bigger commitment to us, we can put you kind of in front of the line. And I said, all right, well, what will it take to be next? And next thing you know, I'm signing a $50 million commitment for a company that has zero revenue.
Oh.
And it's just an idea. But, you know, I'll tell you, I had the confidence. I've grown companies quickly before. And, you know, it's not just, you know, committing to doing it quicker, but you know, it's all, for me, a lot of my success has been what I call making money on the buy. And I basically said, hey, why don't I just go all the way to the top and buy at the best possible price? Because at least I'll know no one will have lower costs than we will.
Right.
And that gives us a lot of directions to go and a lot of different ways to grow this company quickly. If I start off small and I don't have the lowest cost, you know, I'm going to always be a small company. But if I commit big right up front and take that challenge. And yeah, that was a tough spot because it took us months to sign that contract, and we're so happy to finally launch the company and be on T-Mobile's network. And then the next morning we woke up and said, oh my God, how are we going to deliver $50 million? And if I have to deliver $50 million to them, that means we have to have revenue, you know, much higher than that.
Right. Yeah.
And so we said, gosh, we need to get to, you know, 70, 80 million, you know, in the first couple of years, and, you know, and over 100 after that, if we want to keep growing. So, and that's what we did. We never had a choice to be a small company. We had no choice but to grow and grow quick.
So you burned the boats. You basically, you got there.
Yep.
You burned,
exactly.
and all your employees or friends or people that were helping, you probably looked back and went, what are you doing? You're burning the boats. Yeah, it's exactly right. We have no choice. Wow. You know what? I heard even, you know, on my own show last week when I wasn't here, I was listening in Hawaii, and I heard Jason Pfeiffer, our editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, he said, entrepreneurs are those that jump off a cliff and figure out how to build an airplane on the way down. And that's literally what you did. But you have an increase of more than 100,000%. Looks like your annual revenues now are at $118 million. Do you get a better deal at $118 million, brother?
Well, absolutely, but your information is a couple of years old.
Oh, so, my God, listen.
We've been That was only year three.
Oh.
So we've been growing quite a bit since then, and we've launched a new brand. So not just going after the, you know, we're in several thousand retail stores with the Ultra Mobile brand, but we launched an online brand called Mint Sim, mintsim.com, and
spell that. Spell that. I want to hear it. Spell it.
MintSim.com.
Okay.
And basically, we assume you already have a phone, but we'll sell you one if you want. But if you have, you know, any kind of unlocked device, you throw a SIM card in there, and you get unlimited talk, unlimited text, unlimited data for $15 a month.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So, like I said, when you buy well, you can pass the savings right on to the consumers.
Wow. All right, hold tight. David Glickman is on the line, founder and CEO of Ultra Mobile, also mintsim.com. He was just talking about that. He is a graduate of the Wharton School of Business and earned a master's degree in psychology from the University of California, Los Angeles. And he's a featured speaker at both universities. And when we come back, we're going to ask him to put on his professor's cap. This is Entrepreneur Radio. Be right back.
Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
This song, Learn to Fly, from Foo Fighters. And as I said, entrepreneurs are those who they have so much faith in themselves and what they believe in about what they're doing. They jump off the cliff and they start building the parachute, the airplane, or whatever it is on the way down to save themselves. That's what it feels like. I've been there. I've done that. It's like, I've got to do this. David Glickman did it. He signed a $50 million contract with zero income, zero business going on, yet he just knew he could do it. I got it out of him, by the way. I said that his revenue was over $118 million. He's like, oh, that's old. Approaching $200 million with an increase of more than 100,000% growth. America's fastest growing privately held company. I love that stuff. All right, professor from, we say that here, professor of entrepreneurship here on Entrepreneur Radio, master's degree in psychology. Time for you to give us your little bit of advice for the entrepreneur that is standing at the edge of that cliff, about to make the jump to be an entrepreneur. They have the 9-to-5 job, David. They're thinking, I don't know if I'm ready to make that jump, but they hate every day of their life going to work. Listen, I've been that guy. I had that job for one day when I was 16. My only job I ever had was one day, and it lasted almost the whole day before I went, I can't take it anymore. And I'm 57 years old, and I've never worked for anybody. I've always worked for myself. And I believe that what people love about that spirit that I have, that entrepreneurs have, is that spirit that is called being an entrepreneur. It is that thing that is fearless, that is that will try anything. That Sir Richard Branson says, if somebody asks you if you can do something, say yes and learn how to do it on the way to the job. So I give you the podium.
Yeah, I like what you're describing, and that certainly applies to me. And you know, my advice for being an entrepreneur, I got to tell you, you know, this 2017, 2018, Web 2.0, Web approaching Web 3.0, there's so many ways that you could be an entrepreneur without all the risk that is normally associated with it. So if you're talking about starting a business, there's a lot of businesses you can start even while keeping your day job. You know, some of my favorite ideas out there is if you've got an idea for a product of any kind, you have Indiegogo and Kickstarter both offer the entrepreneur something that's never been offered before, and that is a way to sell your product before you manufacture it,
right,
before you have any risk whatsoever. So design it, put a cute video together, and see if people want to buy your product. And if they don't, you've nothing to lose. I offered that advice to, we had a bunch of interns, and I said, you know, in the past you used to have to go raise money from friends and family and, you know, and then go out and make a prototype and try to sell it. And now you could do it all on the web. And the interesting thing that came back to me with is, and you know, this is kind of a way things are, have changed a little bit, generation gap or whatnot. They said, I'd much rather take $25,000 or $50,000 from my family and lose it all than go online with a product and get bad reviews by, you know, off of social media.
Right. Wow.
And I was just shocked. I said, my God, you'd rather not risk virtual, you know, reputation than actual money. And they were unanimous. And I couldn't believe that.
Wow.
So that's both my entrepreneur and my psychology mind going off saying, like, wow, that's interesting. But, you know, for bigger businesses and bigger projects, first of all, an entrepreneur is not just somebody who is creating a new idea. An entrepreneur can be someone who buys an existing business. And, you know, the Small Business Administration gives tremendous SBA loans, so you can go out and buy an existing business. So if you've always wanted to, you know, own a liquor store or a car wash or, you know, start a restaurant or, you know, buy an existing one.
Right.
And or lots of small businesses, businesses that make $300,000-$500,000 a year. You can go, you know, you can probably buy a business like that for $1 to $2 million and SBA will finance, you know, 75% of it, and you can get the seller to finance the rest.
Right.
You can be in a business. So there's a lot of ways in 2017 and approaching 2018 that they make it very easy for the entrepreneur, which wasn't always the case.
Right. No, well, what you're talking about too is the reason why franchises work so well. So many people, they like, I don't have a great idea. Well, Subway sandwiches is a great idea. They're making money. You know, they're bigger than McDonald's these days. So, I mean, there's a lot of great ideas out there. And I like that piece of advice because so many people stay stuck in those jobs they hate because they don't have a great idea. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, everybody. That's exactly what David's saying. David Glickman, you know what I like about you, David? You're a regular guy. You don't sound like you're some genius maniac, but you are. But you're just a regular guy. Thank you so much for all this good talking, and congratulations on the 100,000% growth. That's awesome. Ultramobile.com, check it out on the web. I love people like this. David, thank you.
All right. Thanks. Take care, Alan.
All right.
Thanks for having me on your show.
My pleasure. We'll be right back with more Entrepreneur Radio. Stay with us.
Is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, this song is by Billy Gibbons, ZZ Top, and it's called I'm Bad, I'm Nationwide. Are you nationwide? I am. I'm kind of an international guy. I travel the world doing my business. I'm a journalist, so that takes me all over the world. But I do have to revolve around the sun at some point. The sun for me, Entrepreneur Magazine's headquarters. There's one in New York and there's one in Orange County, California. But a lot of people are like me. This digital age that we have allows us to work from home, to work remotely. But at some point, you may need to consider having a workplace that you can visit when you're in Boston or New York or Los Angeles. So our guest right now is Marcus, and Marcus' last name is, do it for me once, Marcus.
It's Mafarage.
There we go. Marcus Mafarage, he is the COO of ServeCorp, and they are turning 40 years old. These guys have the flexible workspace pretty well nailed down. I know there's other ones out there, WeWork. They just got some huge multi-billion-dollar investment, Regis. But ServeCorp seems to be the four seasons of flexible workspace. And Marcus, thank you for being with us. And I just want to talk about this because, I mean, obviously when WeWork got that gigantic investment, everybody went, like, you know, Tim Allen from Home Improvement. It was like, wow, there are a lot of people going to be working, you know, remotely. And because a lot of us have kind of a virtual business that, you know, we can be where we want, when we want. I'm one of those guys. I can do a radio show from anywhere. Nobody knows where I'm sitting right now, and they don't really care. They just care that the content is good. Maybe we could talk about this whole, you know, flexible workspace and what the landscape is like right now in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's been very interesting for us because we've been in the business for 40 years, and people actually think that it's a new industry. And so we have always been the premium niche in a niche market, and it's fundamentally changing to be a mainstream market now. And very often I'm talking to people in the media or even, you know, just people in public, and they're like, sort of, what's the news story here? Why, you know, if Surf Corp's been around for 40 years, that's pretty boring. But the fact is that what the news story is there's been a real mindset change in how people want to work and how, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a large organization or a startup, in sort of their perspective in terms of what flexible workspace might do for them. And so now it's a mass market product. It's something that's very much in demand and you know, we're very well positioned to transition from being in a niche market to being the premium brand in a mainstream market.
It's interesting because I went to one of these flexible workplaces in Los Angeles, actually, and it was a little bit like a sweatshop. I thought, wow, this is uncomfortable feeling. And I think, you know, it was probably okay for those who were in there because they just needed a place to, you know, to get some work done. But I felt uncomfortable. I thought I would never want to work here.
Yeah, look, I think that those spaces are what has got a lot of attention because it's very millennial, it's very fashionable, it's very, you know, it's that sort of thing. But the, you know, where we're excited about where this change in the mindset of the industry is that there has to be a premium brand because there are guys like you and there are a lot of businesses out there who want to dress their business in a way that suits the product that they're trying to sell. And so our premise has always been that you know, we've been built on a foundation of three things that we think make businesses successful. And one of those certainly is the first impression, and that's the environment that you're in. So we only choose, you know, super high-profile, iconic buildings that have recognizable addresses because we think that first impression is really, really important. And then we put great fit-outs in those. And then we have really great support staff and a support team because we think that you should be focusing on just getting your business done, not necessarily getting everything else done. And then we run all 150 floors that we have around the world in 21 countries. We run them like they're one building on one database with a global platform. So if you join us in one place, you have access to that global platform around the world. And we think those things make our clients' businesses really successful. That's what we've focused on.
So maybe you could explain for the entrepreneurs listening and the people that are maybe thinking, you know, I could do this from home and have never actually heard of this flexible work environment. How does Surf Corp work?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we have an ecosystem that really caters to people who, you know, might just have a great idea and want to work from home and want to spend more time at home, and they can actually use the space on a really flexible basis. They can use the address, and we think the address of your business is really important. We think obviously depending on what sort of business you're in. I mean, if you're cutting code for people in lots of different places, then maybe your address isn't so important. But we know from research that actually people trust a local address when they're dealing with somebody, particularly in professional services, who many, many of our clients are. And so, we know, but the ecosystem can cater from people just working from home to people who want a space to get out of the house because people still do really hate their husbands and wives, so they want to get out of the house. So we have space for them just to come and drop in and work and not necessarily work in an office environment, but work in a more shared and collaborative environment. And then we have private offices as well. And most of our private offices are occupied by people in professional services businesses, but also by startups and fintech companies and those sorts of businesses. And that's, you know, when you sort of graduate out of out of being in shared space, you want to graduate into an office, you know. And I'm currently sitting looking at the whole of Manhattan from the 85th floor in One World Trade Center, or Freedom Towers.
Nice.
Many people know it. So you can actually get an office here for like $1,000 a month.
Wow. See that? And I mean, you guys are doing, you're closing in on $250 million in business. So this is a huge industry that I think, you know, is just because of this recent, explosion, you know, with the investment and the news about WeWork, that it's important for people to understand options like you just said, to be able to have somebody come visit you in a place like the Freedom Tower. It just changes the whole mindset, and I think it's really neat. We come back.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Literally, I'll be dealing with somebody, and they're like, "Hey, let's have a meeting. We can meet in my office." And I'm like, "I'm actually in Freedom Tower," and they're like, "No, let's meet in your office." Like every time they want to come here just to see the view, and you know, it's an icon. It's a global icon, so it's pretty amazing.
Oh, it's good stuff. All right, when we come back, I want to get some advice on how people can take advantage of this kind of opportunity. ServeCorp.com, pretty easy. All around the world, you can find out where ServeCorp is available for you if you have an international business. This is Entrepreneur Radio. I'm going to be right back after this.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Well, if you need flexible workspace and you want to have an office in the Freedom Tower in Manhattan, well, maybe you want to check out ServeCorp. You can buy a Chevrolet, you can buy a BMW or Mercedes-Benz, or you can buy a Rolls-Royce or a McLaren. And at the end of the day, each one of these different organizations that offer flexible workspace may be the inexpensive model or the Four Seasons model. And that's what ServeCorp likes to compare themselves to. And I think that's neat. See, for me, I have a very opulent office. And I was telling Marcus Moveridge that I don't have anybody that visits me at all. So after 7 years, I'm selling the building and I'm going to, you know, buy something that I can be comfortable with. Maybe I don't have to have as much money in. But guess what? I have the opportunity to have ServeCorp to wherever I go in the world. They're in, across 21 countries. And this is the option that this kind of virtual business model offers now these days, because I travel a lot. So, I don't need to have a gigantic, this building. At first I thought to myself, this is my life's work is represented. Well, you know what? Nobody sees it. So what am I doing this for? So anyway, if you're feeling that way and you want to be able to have options, ServeCorp offers that. And we're not sponsored by ServeCorp, but I think that it was after that big investment with WeWork and then there's Regis. And I thought the world is looking at this going, what is going on? Well, it's because our world is changing. So now maybe we get some advice for you folks listening from Marcus of, you know, what can people do and how should they go about it and where do they start?
Yeah, look, I think it starts with a business plan for your business. So I think that how you dress your business is really, really important. I think it makes a statement as to where you want your business to be. And I think people don't take enough time to look at the representation of the business, as in where it's located and what market it's trying to address and the people that they've got in actually servicing their customers. And so I think you need to sort of make those decisions before you look at any sort of space options. And I think you've got to realize how important where your business is located and the surrounds and how it's going to make you feel about your business. Because actually, you know, confidence in yourself and confidence in your business are big factors in your business being successful.
Right.
And so, you know, we are in an interesting position because you talked about us being the Four Seasons of in our industry. But what's interesting is that using flexible workspace is always a cheaper alternative and certainly a more flexible alternative than actually taking the space yourself, either buying or taking a long-term lease. And so despite the fact we're the Four Seasons, you'd be surprised how economical the options can be in terms of getting a presence. And the second thing I'd say is, you know, nobody's tied to any particular market right now. And particularly if you're in a services business and you're operating in New York or let's say you're operating in DC, you know, you should be marketing to the other markets that are around you, because part of what is going to make you successful is the size of the pool that the market that you're trying to address. What is the addressable market? And if you can increase that with low costs, then I think that's a really, really good option. So there's a lot of people who might have a really great office here in New York or in DC or in Boston, but they actually should be addressing, you know, the whole Eastern Seaboard. But as you probably know, these cities are pretty parochial. So they want to see a Boston address or a Boston telephone number or a 212 number if they're in New York. And we can provide all of those things at really, really inexpensively. So I think, you know, fundamentally when you're doing a business plan of how big is the market that you're trying to address and how do you want to present your business, those decisions are really, really important. And when you make those decisions, it's good to know that there are options. It's not just that you have to work out of a co-working space where you know it is a bit like a frat house. You know, it's good to know that if your business is a little more serious or if you're trying to get funding or those sorts of things, then it's good to know that there are alternatives that you can present your business in a better light without having to necessarily make that 5 or 10 year investment in traditional space.
I'm just looking here. I see that your father started ServCorp back in 78. That's pretty cool, man. Congrats on that.
He did. That's and he is a consummate entrepreneur, and the founder's culture still runs very deep in the veins of our business. And in fact, you know, he'll be 77 years old very soon, and he still works 7 days a week and is still got his foot firmly planted on the back of my neck. So it's it's an interesting place.
That is great. And where did you guys found this? Where was it? In New York?
In Australia. So we started in Sydney, Australia in 78. And, you know, he had a business idea, and he went out to go and find an office for this business idea that he had. But he wanted to be in a really, really nice office. But A, he couldn't afford a really nice office, and B, the shared space options were either sharing with a friend or, you know, taking an office with your lawyer, and they were all kind of crappy, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
And so basically he said, if I share the cost of the rent and I share the cost of the fit out and I share the cost of the people and I share the cost of the infrastructure, then I can probably afford to have a really great office, and the other guys will pay my rent for me, basically. And that's how it started. And really it was a great concept, and it was needs driven, and that's how we started, and started in a still iconic building in Sydney, Australia called the MLC Centre.
That's awesome. Well, ServCorp.com. Marcus Mofridge, thank you very much. I think this is a great opportunity for folks that have a lifestyle like you and I. Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. We'll be right back.
Get the latest issue of Entrepreneur Magazine delivered right to your door. Visit entrepreneur.com and subscribe today. This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I'm holding in my hands the October issue of Entrepreneur Magazine. Bobby Flay right on the cover. Yes! Build an empire, it says. Yep, it's a kind of a foodie issue, starting on page 33. Lots of great stuff in every issue of Entrepreneur Magazine. I'm glad to be associated. I am an entrepreneur. You know, it's funny. I've worked for a lot of different magazines in the business world, in the thought leadership world, in the car world. Yes, I spent some time with Car and Driver and Motor Trend. I'm a total car guy. I'm an entrepreneur. I've owned wrecking yards, body shops, repair shops, a media business. I've been on the radio for going on 25, 27 years, whatever the heck it's been, too long, way too long. But when I finally landed with entrepreneur, I thought about it and I said, you know what? What is it about that word? What is it that I take such pride in saying to people, yes, I'm an entrepreneur? And I guess it's like saying, I'm a badass, or I'm a disciplined person in business, but I'm also a badass, or I am a person that likes to take chances, or I really don't know how to wrap my brain around it. I'm a person that can fix stuff. So again, I don't know how to really wrap my brain around why I like the word so much. There's so much meaning behind it. I guess it's kind of how I feel about the American flag. I look at that American flag and I think that represents everything that I want to be, that I am and that I want to be, and that so many people around this great world want to be. It represents freedom. It represents dignity and courage. It represents just so much. And the word entrepreneur, I think, is what backs up what America is all about. Because if it wasn't for us entrepreneurs starting things that people said, oh, that'll never work, and then it did, we wouldn't have the America that we have today. And I've talked to many, many people before I worked for Entrepreneur magazines. They said, you know, when things got tough in 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, through that whole period, so many times I heard this before I worked with Entrepreneur magazine. They said, oh, but the entrepreneurs of this country will rebuild it. They will create jobs. They will create opportunity. And they will get together and they will do things they say couldn't be done. So I love the word. I love what it stands for. I love the magazine. I love what they're doing for you folks that want to be entrepreneurs, that are entrepreneurs. I love that they give us all a forum, a soapbox to stand on. Thank God in America we don't need a soapbox, but in other parts of the world you can't say what you think. You cannot do it. And even though these crazy people that I think are crazy are getting down on their knee when they're singing the national anthem, in America you have a right to do that. But you know what? You will be judged by your actions. So be careful what you choose to do, because be careful what you ask for. You just may get it. They're asking for that certain freedom to do, you know, this crazy act. And guess what? They're going to get it, but they may not have a job at the end of the day. So, you know, you just have to be thoughtful. And I was doing one of my shows that we do for Business and Burgers. The show is on entrepreneur.com. You can find it also at businessandburgers.com. One of the guys in particular, David Corbin, he wrote a book, Illuminate. And I thought to myself, you know what? That is another word that entrepreneurs, they don't even know that they're doing. They look at a problem, they illuminate it. They say, I'm going to shine a light on that problem. I'm going to look at it real close and I'm going to find it. I'm going to find out what the problem is. I'm going to follow it and I'm going to fix it. And that's what David Corbin says. Find it, follow it, fix it. When you have problems, that's what entrepreneurs do. They're the kind of people, and I've said it before, that will jump off the edge of a cliff and figure out how to build an airplane or a parachute or something on the way down. They have such courage and strength of conviction that they don't have the fear of making the jump. They know that they're going to fix it on the way to where they're going. I said it before, I'm going to say it again, and I've heard it said. Perfect example, Sir Richard Branson said, if somebody offers you a job and you don't know how to do it, just say, I can do it, and on the way, you figure out how to do it. That is something called self-confidence. And at the end of the day, what is confidence? I say to people, what is confidence? It's a word that we say all too often, but we really, really don't know what it means. We kind of know what it means. It comes from the Latin confideo, with fidelity, you might say. It's with honor, with trust, with dignity, with self, I think just pure self-confidence. And I say that because I think with God, if you have a belief of some sort in something greater than yourself, and that you know that you can do whatever you put your heart and your mind to, and you have faith in whether it's yourself or that, you know, that the universe, whatever you want to call your God, you can do it. So with that, I'll say, see you next week right here on Entrepreneur Radio. Become an entrepreneur. You'll never regret it.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.